And I'm going to read in a few moments from Hebrews chapter 13. But before I read from the Scripture, or before I begin reading from the Scripture this morning, and what we're going to do is a little bit different this morning. I'm going to just kind of read the Scripture, the text today. We're going to have it before us in a few moments on the screen, and we'll just go through it as I move through the sermon. I'm not going to read it all at one time, but rather I'm going to read the passage as we go through the sermon a bit at a time. I want to ask you a question, though. First of all, do you like recipes? Can I get a witness? I like recipes. I love recipes. I love exchanging recipes. I like to cook. My wife likes to cook. She's a better cook than I am, but we join together, you know, and we cook together a lot, and we like getting new recipes and trying new stuff. Anybody else here like that? Anybody? Some of you may not be big cooking fans, but I love recipes. And about, I don't know how long ago it was, about 35 years ago, I got the opportunity to preach a revival meeting in Lawton, Oklahoma at Carriage Hills Christian Church. How many of you guys remember or ever heard of revival meetings? Anybody know what those are? Okay. Well, I used to get opportunities to preach revival meetings many years ago. And I preached at this church in Lawton, Carriage Hills Christian. And on Sunday night, we started on Sunday morning, and we'd go through Wednesday night. That was when we'd kind of shortened revivals down. Used to be they had those 30-day meetings. Any of y'all remember those? Have month-long revival meetings. And then we shortened them to 2 weeks, and then we shortened them to a week, and then we went down to a weekend. And I don't think a lot of folks know what a revival is anyway anymore. But this one was from Sunday morning to Wednesday night. And I remember on Sunday night, they had after the service this event they called a pie supper. How many of you remember those? I think we ought to reinstitute revivals just to get pie supper started again. What do y'all think? But they had a pie supper, and we got to enjoy this pie, and I had never had a pie like this before. I'd never encountered it, and I'm sure you guys are well aware of buttermilk pies. How many know what a buttermilk pie is? But I'm not from the Southwest. I think they must be big in the Southwest. Back in Virginia, we didn't have buttermilk pies. Or maybe I just missed them. Maybe it was just my family. I don't know. Maybe I was just deprived. I don't know. But this one lady had baked a buttermilk pie, and it was absolutely fantastic. And I told Lola, I said, we need to get the recipe for this. And she said, yeah, we do. So we went over, and we found out from the preacher who the lady was that had baked the pie. And we asked her for the recipe. And guess what? She said no. I mean, you know, she didn't hesitate. She didn't bat an eye. She just said no. And she said, I don't give away recipes. She said, I hate coming to a supper or an event or whatever, and somebody else has exactly the same thing that I brought. So I don't give my recipes to anybody. Well, the last night of the meeting, I think she came under conviction by the power of the Holy Ghost. She came up to Lola and me, and she had the recipe. And she said, I'm going to give this to you with one proviso. She said, she looked at us, she said, you can never give this recipe to anybody in the state of Oklahoma, nor can you ever bring this pie to any kind of a gathering in the state of Oklahoma. And we've been faithful to that. We really have. I don't know if she's still living or not. I have no idea. This morning, I really want to encourage you to think about the fact that God has a lot of good recipes. What do you think about that? They're in here. Did you know that? And He's not stingy with His recipes. And I'm going to share one of them with you this morning. It's found in the book of Hebrews, the 13th chapter. And George, I think you're going to put it up on the, you've got it up there, right? And what's already up there, the first verse, is not one of the ingredients. The first verse is actually the end product, okay? Now, the title of the sermon this morning is A Recipe for a Delicious, Healthy Church. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I have to question whether when they put those two words, delicious and healthy, together, they're being real or not. But this is a recipe for a delicious, healthy church. And verse 1 describes what a delicious, healthy church looks like. This is the end product. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. What a delicious, healthy church is a community of tenacious love. That's what it is. That's what a church is supposed to look like. That's what a church is supposed to be like. But have you noticed, but it's one thing to say we are a community of tenacious love and being a community of tenacious love. Well, in this chapter, chapter 13 of the book of Hebrews, whoever it was that wrote Hebrews, and we're not really sure who wrote it. Some say it was Paul. Some say it was Barnabas. Some say it was Priscilla. Ladies, isn't that good news? And it could have very well been. There's some evidence, some belief among scholars that Priscilla, the wife of Aquila, that she was the one who wrote the book of Hebrews. But in concluding the thoughts of this letter, the writer gives the church a recipe for being a healthy, delicious church, a church where the people keep on loving one another. Did you hear what I said? A church where the people do what? Keep on what? Loving one another. Not just a church where they keep on. Some people just go on and on and on. You know what I'm talking about? Some people keep on at church. But this is a church where they keep on loving one another. Now, the first ingredient is right here. It's in the next verse, in verse 2. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. Now, do you know any strangers? How can we still do that today? Now, back in that culture, oftentimes people would be displaced because of their faith. Oftentimes they would have to leave the city where they lived if they were people who put their faith in Christ because there was strong persecution in that particular time. As a matter of fact, that's part of what the writer to the Hebrew believers was writing to them about. He was writing to them about holding on to their faith because they had gotten so discouraged by being so persecuted and by all the bad things they'd gone through because of their deciding to be Christians and follow Christ that they were ready to give up being Christians. You ever feel that way? They did. They were ready just to chuck it and just to do something different, go back to whatever it was they came from. So the writer was writing them and encouraging them to hold on to their faith. And one of the things that this writer writes and says is do not forget to entertain strangers if you want to be a loving church, if you want to keep on being a loving church, if you want to be a community of tenacious love. Entertain strangers because there were people who might have been kicked out of their community and they've had to travel and live someplace else because of their faith. And the churches would open up their homes to those people and they would welcome them. Our brother here this morning, who sang among us, is he kind of a stranger among us? He kind of is, isn't he? Wasn't it wonderful for him to sing with us? You know what the choir did? You know what Brian did and the rest of the choir? I believe they offered you hospitality. Yes, and you know what he did by singing for us? He was hospitable to us. He helped us, right? Now, you guys are great, but he brought something, right? Thank you. Thank you. And thank you, choir, for being so open and hospitable. We do things here to provide hospitality to strangers. We have signs on the walls where the bathroom is. Aren't you glad to go to a strange place and they have signs up for the bathroom? Come on! Is that a way of showing hospitality to strangers? You say, I think you're really going overboard. Well, maybe, but we're trying to build a bridge from then to now. And the Word of God is the Word of God is the Word of God. No matter where you're at or what age you're living in or what city or what time or whatever, it's still the Word of God. And we need to figure out how to take what's written here by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to those folks back then and understand that it was written not just for them, but it's written also for who else? Us today. For our learning, for our example, until the Lord returns. So putting up signs that tell people where the bathroom is. We have a little welcome center out here. A little kiosk, and that's a place where people can get information. We have bulletins that help people to know about our worship, about how we're doing the services so that they're not confused. Is that hospitality? Well, sure it is. We did something at Christmas time. We shared our facility with, what was it called? Santa's helpers, right? Did we know where those gifts were going? We just knew that they were going to children that needed gifts. And we opened up our facility to people who were working to provide needy children in this region with a Merry Christmas. Now, we may never meet some of them. We may never know them. We may never know their parents or their circumstances. However, we have provided them with what? Hospitality. Because we shared our building with those that received the blessing and also with the people who were blessing. They were blessers. They weren't members of our church. Not all of them. Some of them probably were. Maybe were. I don't know. But the point is, we were hospitable to strangers. My wife is the president of Altrusa. I think Altrusa meets here how often? Once a month. Now, I know Altrusa does give us a donation on an annual basis. However, we don't open this facility up for the Altrusa sisters just because we want their money, do we? No, we don't. They do a good work, and we love them, and they love us. And so it's important for us to offer them hospitality. That's what it means to be a community of tenacious love. That's what it means to be a healthy, now what's that other word? Delicious church. You ever bite into something and say, "Oh, that's delicious"? Do you think anybody ever bites into a church and says, "Oh, that's delicious"? I've bitten into a few that weren't so tasty. And sometimes we're not so tasty either. That's why it's important for us to be tenacious. This weekend, we had the kids here, and that was hospitality to other churches in El Paso and Albuquerque and in Carlsbad, as well as our own kids here. And we're kind of a central point between those area churches, and so this is a great location for them to travel to be together. They go to camp together over at Carlsbad, the kids do. And in the midwinter, this allows them to make reconnections with other kids of faith. And so they were able to come together and to have fun and to worship and to renew their friendships. Do you guys remember anything like that from when you were kids? Anybody here? Did y'all do that? Isn't it cool that we get to be a part of that now? Can I get an amen? You say you're manipulating us now. Well, of course I am. Isn't that what preachers do? I'm encouraging you. Hospitality. Oh, there's many other things that we do. I just mentioned a few things that we do. But what we did a moment ago in just walking around the room and passing the peace to one another is these are acts of hospitality. Inviting someone into your home, that's an act of hospitality. People say, well, I don't want to have people at my house. My house is not good enough. Come on. My house is a mess. Well, they're not coming to see your house. Who are they coming to see? They're coming to see us. I could preach and preach and preach. But you guys would go home before I got done, and I wouldn't like that. So I'm going to move on here. But I want to say one more thing, and that is it says in this passage of Scripture that there have been those who have, without realizing it, entertained angels when they were showing hospitality. Now, the word angel just simply means messengers. Oftentimes when we extend to others grace and love, they bring us more than we give them. Have you noticed that? They bring us messages and gifts from God. And I believe that's what the writer's saying here to these people. Now he goes on, or she goes on, the writer goes on. And down in verse 3, continue to remember those in prison as if you yourself were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. That's powerful. You know, sometimes the people who are not present with us, we don't see them, and so we forget about them. How about folks who are in nursing homes? I know when I grew up, one of the things that our church did, and one of the things that I've done as a minister over the years, and I used to take my son with me years ago as well in the afternoons, and it doesn't have to be just the minister who does this. It's great when there are others in the church who do it as well. And he's grown up to be a preacher, too. He's going to preach next Sunday. We're going to go hear him preach, and we're excited about that in Clovis. But one of the things that we would do is people who were sick or people who were in the nursing homes, our churches would take communion to them. Do you remember doing that? Carry them the Lord's Supper. And that's a beautiful thing. And that's not the only thing we can do for people like this, but there's so many things that are important for us to do to remember those that no longer can be among us and to let them know that they are. What's that thing that we're supposed to keep on doing? What? Loved. A community of tenacious, what? Pie suppers. No. A community of tenacious what? Love. Now it goes on in the next verse says, marriage should be honored by all. And the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and the sexually immoral. Keep, well, let me stop right there. And you say, now how did that get in here? I think that marriage is the fabric of our culture. I believe that it's what strengthens our culture. And marriage is about partnership. It's not just our culture, it's more than our culture. I think God uses marriage to build us. He uses it to build our families, but He uses marriage to build us too. You know, the Bible says the two shall be what? Do you remember? One. The problem is which one? Come on. And out of that tension, and I know when we get married, when we get engaged, when we're moving towards becoming, you know, one, or as far as the legalities are concerned, the ceremony and all that, we're excited and it's beautiful and romantic. But then after we've been married for a little while, all of a sudden we realize they don't put the toilet paper on the toilet roll the way they're supposed to. Come on. He doesn't put the lid down like he ought to. And there's a thousand other things. He's a toucher and she's not. She is somebody who is very expressive and very outgoing, and he's not. Why does God do that to us? Have you ever wondered that opposites do really attract, or why God allows that? Maybe it's because God means in marriage for people to find parts of themselves that are broken through the other person and to be stretched and to grow and to find what they've lost through wounds and through hurt and through all kind of stuff. And we've repressed and suppressed some of that stuff. And so we say, that's just not me. But then when you begin to get out of your comfort zone and you begin to do some of those things that you say just isn't me, all of a sudden you find out, well, this is not so bad. God uses marriage to grow us. Honor marriage. It's a partnership. It's about faithfulness. He says, don't cheat on your spouse. Can I get an amen? And don't help anybody else cheat on their spouse either, okay? You don't have one. Marriage is beautiful and powerful. And some people say, well, what if I'm divorced? Well, God is a God of redemption, and you can't go back and fix what's broken. You can't undo what's done. But what can you do if you're in a marriage now, even though you had a failure in the past? What's the job of the church in those situations? It's to help people to have good marriages where they are now. We have to, whatever's past, we learn from and we move on. But honor marriage. Is that a good ingredient for a healthy, delicious church, a church that honors marriage? Now, everybody's not going to get married, and that's okay. But we need to honor marriage, he says. Now, older folks can love younger people. We can take them under our wings. We can love them. We can have marriage seminars and classes. We can have counseling. Church can do so many different things. There's a lot of expressions of how these things are played out, and it may be different in different places at different times. But what's important is that we get the basics. Now, he goes on. And he says something else here in verse 5. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can human beings do to me? See, this is generosity. This is one of the ingredients. Now, so far we've talked about hospitality, we've talked about honoring marriages, and now we're talking about generosity. Gandhi said, "There is plenty for everyone's need, but there will never be enough for everyone's greed." Have you heard that before? What is greed? What is greed? It's the fear, and the word is here, it's right here in the scripture. It's the fear of not having enough. That's what greed is. I'm so glad that we're not a greedy church. Amen? I'm so glad that even when we get greedy, we realize it and we stop it. Come on. And the things that I just spoke about a moment ago, about our sharing our facilities, about our sharing our lives, about our sharing our time and being hospitable and reaching out to other people, those are about more than just money. They're about money, but they're about more than just money. And this passage of Scripture is about more than just money. We can be greedy with more than money. We can be greedy with our time. We can be greedy with our families. We can be greedy with so much. Yet generosity means recognizing that God is good. Did we sing that this morning? Didn't we sing a song about that? God is good, right? Thank you. You believe it? Well, I know he's good to Chuck, but will he be good to me? I know he's good to Todd, but will he really be good to me? See, that's part of being a church, a community of tenacious, what? Love. It's trusting God enough for us to let go of the things that we believe in for survival and for life. And God says, I'm what you need to believe in. I'm who you need to trust. Stop trusting and holding on so tightly to stuff and recognize that as you open your hands, you have a greater capacity to receive and to have. Come on. Oh, well, there's more. Can we look a little further here? Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their life and their way of faith. It's important for us to be in relationship with people who have gone down the road ahead of us, and people that we can look at who have faith and who've lived their faith out in our churches. We need to have people who we celebrate. I think it's important that when marriages are successful, and sometimes, you know, we look at marriages as that's a successful marriage. We don't know all that goes on, right? Sometimes. I know that. But when we know that people have a good marriage and a successful marriage, should we pick those people up and hold them up and celebrate? I think so. I think it was great when you guys, a few months back, I don't remember, you guys had a, Howard and Sandy, you guys had a celebration of your marriage again. You repeated your vows. And all of us celebrated that. Wasn't that great? I think it's a wonderful thing to do. And isn't it good to let young people know that marriage can work? It's important. And it's important for us to have the kinds of relationships I think that we see written about here, to where we know people well enough to know that if they have faith and if they're practicing their faith, that it works. And if I do what they do, it'll work in my life too. How many of you guys have had mentors in your life? Mentors. Many of us have. And I've been blessed by good mentors in my life. In business, in my profession, and just in my life as a Christian. We need to have relationships that are close enough with people that we can see where they're successful. But do we need to be close enough also that we see when they fail sometimes? Isn't it cool to see somebody fail well? I need to see that and learn from it. How about you guys? Because we're not always going to be successful. And sometimes the people that we choose to be elders in our church, to be our shepherds, not necessarily folks who succeed all the time, but also people who know how to fail well with grace. And God's grace. Let's go on here. Let's look a little bit further. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and for how much longer?
Forever.
And we can read over in verse 17, the writer skips here a little bit and says some things. Must have been attention deficit disorder or something. I don't know. But all the way over verse 17, he picks up again and he says, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority because they keep watch over you as one who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden. And if we go back to verse 9, do not be carried away with all kinds of strange teachings. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by, have we got it up there? By what?
Grace.
By grace? Is that what it says? Not by eating of ceremonial foods, which is of no benefit to those who observe such rituals. We have an altar from which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. And then he goes on and he talks more about the rituals and about getting all the I's dotted and all the T's crossed. But what he says here is it's important that if we're going to be a healthy, delicious church, if we're going to be a church that is a tenacious community of love or a love of tenacious community, that what strengthens our hearts is just what I've been talking about already. Not that we get it right all the time, but rather that God loves us and God forgives us and that God has grace for us to grow us and keep us moving forward in spite of the fact that we make mistakes, in spite of the fact that we don't get it right all of the time. Some churches, they want you to be strengthened because you got it right. I think it's important to get it right, but the Bible says our hearts need to be strengthened not by getting it right all the time, but our hearts need to be strengthened by what? Grace. Grace. What was that word? Grace. And he says in verse 15, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. That's gratitude. The fruit of lips that openly profess His name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. And just a few verses before that, let me go back up here. I almost was going to just not talk about this, but I'm going to take just a minute and look at verse 14. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to what? To come. Vision. God's vision. A church, if it's going to be healthy, a church, if it's going to be delicious, a church, if it's going to be a community of tenacious love, is going to be a church that has a vision for that. A vision not just for going to heaven someday when we die, but a church that has a vision for allowing heaven to come and just be right here. Is that possible? What do we pray when we prayed the Lord's Prayer? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We look forward to someday when we can be in your kingdom way off in the future in heaven, right? No, what do we pray every single Sunday? Thy kingdom what? Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Where? Right here. Right here in River City, right? Right here in Ruidoso. That's the vision God wants us to have. I don't know. Can I go over those again? What was the first one? Do y'all remember? Hospitality to strangers? What was the next one? Marriage, right? Generosity was after marriage. What was another one? You didn't know there was going to be a test, did you? What was another one? I got to look too. Grace. Being strengthened by grace. Yeah. And then the last one I just now talked about was what? vision. The Spirit of the Lord, Jesus said, is upon me to preach the good news to the poor. Who are the poor? Who are the poor? Me. Every single one of us. Do you want to be a healthy, delicious church? You want to make one? You want to build one? We have the recipe. Are you ready? Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.